Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're in part 14 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. If you'd like to order this tape or CD, all you have to do is fax us, email us, call us, or write us, and this would be program number 115. But right now, and we have some letters today. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Heavenly Father to take over this service. Father, take over this service. Let everything that's said through my lips be directed from you, the Holy Spirit. Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out your Holy Spirit upon me and through me, that the people in the audience, whether saved or lost, will receive something from you today, Lord, that they've never known before. Something that will give them more strength today than they've ever had before. Let millions and billions of souls, Lord, be saved. And let your church come forward and be recognized in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Come forward and be recognized. Don't be hiding in the closet anymore, Christians. The time is too short to be playing church. The time is... Is that an end? We're in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation now, where the mystery of God is unveiled. Things that people have really never known about the gospel are now being revealed. That's how we know we're living in the day of revealing, the day of revelation. And right now, let's read some of these letters. Where's the first letter from?
From Florence, Colorado.
Florence, Colorado. We were up there in Colorado for a while. Amen.
Amen.
Right in Florence, too. I was in prison there for the gospel's sake. And I've stated this before, and I'll say it again. Your prophets and Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, were all in jail. I belong to a very exclusive club. The club name is the Jailbirds. And some of the Jailbirds are the Apostle Paul, Peter, Luke, Mark, and of course the Lord chiefly, and your different prophets. And then of course millions of Christians down through the years have been members of the Jailbird Club. That's such an exclusive club, and I'm proud to be one of the members. And the Lord says those of, if they put him in prison, if they persecuted him, they'll persecute the true believers, the ones that are really in the work. When you see what's supposed to be a work of God going on, and you don't see any persecution whatsoever, they've never been stoned like I have, and I'm not talking about on narcotics and drugs. They call that being stoned, but I've actually been rocks thrown at me. I've had my head stomped. I've had gunshots fired at me. I've been put in jails and in prison for the gospel on false charges, naturally, and all sorts of things. And I just, this is a reminiscence. Is this from one of the prisons in Florence?
Yes.
It is. Well, maybe it's somebody I know up there. I was there for quite a while. 4 years altogether, with Memphis and Florence, and also in Texarkana prisons. Then I was in the Denver prison for a while. They kept transferring me and finally, after I won so many souls in there, the Lord let me get out of there. It's been around 10 years now, and we're still going. Nothing can will ever cause me to fall away from the Lord. We've been spat upon, Sue and myself. People have said every kind of lie that there could possibly be. If you believe them, you would believe that I was... And if you believe the lies that they told about Jesus, you'd think, and the different apostles, that they were worse than Adolf Hitler. And I can assure you that the things they said about Adolf were true, but none of the things that they've said about us are true. Okay, now, let me hear what fellow former inmate, or an inmate in the same facility, the Supermax is out there. Is that from Supermax? Or
it's that's from the FCI.
It's prison?
The
federal
FCI.
Prison?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the Federal Correctional Institution.
Yeah, that's the one I was in over there. And so they left my mark there, the Lord's mark. Let's hear it.
Brother Tony Alamo, I hope you will be found in good health. I really admire how you preach the Word of God and how it has extended into other countries. I have learned through a brother that you provide the Alamo World Newsletter. I want to congratulate you and all the people in your holy church. Your work and dedication blesses millions of people and helps us walk in salvation. I would like to be sent the world newsletters. Thank you so much in advance. Juan from Florence, Colorado.
I could see Pike's Peak right from my window there. And that's that place is the place where the weather changes sometimes four times a day. In the morning it looks bright and shiny and you go out with a t-shirt on. And by noon, it's snowing. And then it's sleeting. And then the sun will come back out again and the wind will start blowing fiercely. I mean, I never saw a place like that in my life. All right, then what?
From Accra, Ghana. Dear sir, I enjoyed reading the literature that a friend gave to me, which was Light and Your Way. It gave me faith that God exists, truly, and also has changed my life into good. I will be glad to receive more literature and two holy Bibles. I would like to study more about God, His Word, and His good things for me. Please send it through this address, the Royal Gospel School, and this address. God bless and thank you, yours faithfully, Solomon from Accra, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. Then the next one, where is that from?
From Abia State, Nigeria. Dear Pastor Alamo, seasoned greetings from Nigeria. Peace be unto you. I'm so delighted in the things the Lord has been doing through you, seeing that the souls that came to you will be served with divine food. May His name be glorified in your life in Jesus' name. Pastor Alamo, I am not confused, seeing that the Lord never intended that you will just be a pastor, but great motivator, counselor, peace setter, preparing men for God, and mostly the great preacher of our time with integrity. I saw that many who read your articles and ministrations will always like to know whom you are, and by so doing, come closer to you. You just direct them to God with your diplomatic way of ministration. To this end, I got to know that my ministration here needs some serious changes and attention in the things that concern the great gospel and soul hunters like you do. Therefore, to understand this better, I went with your articles to services yesterday. Before, during, and after service, I was covering a large area with your news magazines and gospel literature, seeing that people will understand the dramatic changes in the kingdom expansion. Almost all the souls that got to read of your ministration and preaching always ask me to bring this church here in the East, in the country Nigeria, to start with. The government officials, students, marketers, drivers, and all the rest of them always trouble me to see that this great gospel does not fail to be here. But seeing the zeal this thing needs, I realize that I cannot do anything if I do not have better training from this source and the very background of it. To this end, dear pastor, I request with real interest to be given the very favor to attend your theological training there in your ministry, so that I will be able to back the principle of your mandate here on earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, with the help of my friends here who are eager to see that I will bring this gospel down here, I will be able to get my passport and part payment of the ticket by His grace, if I will be accorded favorable consideration, sir. So I humbly submit here that I'm interested to study under your ministry and work thereof with our Lord Jesus Christ. May His name be glorified and the blessings never cease to multiply unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hoping to hear a favorable reply from you, sir. I'm your beloved servant in your vineyard, in the vineyard, Pastor Tim from Abia State, Nigeria.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. Our doors are wide open for people that would like to come here and not only hear the gospel. We don't have, I've written hundreds of pieces of literature and I've done thousands of tapes. And this, in essence, is what you'll get when you're here. And you'll get it also if you're there. But you'll also learn how, or the rules and regulations of a church. Now, I'm not primarily into, I'm primarily into being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than learning doctrine. Learning doctrine is important, and teaching doctrine is somewhat important. You have to know what the true doctrine of the Lord is. You have to know the Word in order to be able to preach it so that people can understand it and rightly divide it. But it's more the most important thing is to be in Jesus for Jesus to be your bridegroom, and for you to be children of the bride chamber, for you to be invited guests into the kingdom of God, and also to be virgins. When the Lord washes all your blood away, all your sins away in His precious blood, they're drowned in the sea of His forgetfulness, and you become like a virgin. If you were the biggest prostitute on the face of this earth, you become white as snow. You are a virgin after something like that. And there's no way that anyone can condemn you. And if you wanted to get married to a Christian brother, or if you were a whoremonger, you're as white as snow. Your bride could dress in white. It didn't make any difference what she's done before in her life. She's as clean as a virgin. And there's a lot of virgins in the world that they would even be cleaner than those. Because the Lord looks upon the heart, and He also gives you the power to stay a virgin until you become the actual bride of the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven, until you arrive at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Going into the services here on earth, we are when we attend a service, we are eating. We're like dining, we're drinking the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever when we attend services. If you're in a church that is truly in the bride chamber with the bridegroom, that's what it is. Jesus is the bridegroom, we're children of the bride chamber, and we cannot mourn when we're in the... there's so many people that are mourning, that call themselves to Christians. Well, I'm talking about four different kinds of Christians in this message today. And let's begin right now. Okay?
We must continually, for the rest of our lives, eat only Jesus, who is the Word of God, the bread of life, and the hidden manna.
Right, and He's also the Spirit, which is the water and the blood. Okay, so let's continue.
It was in the church service that we began to drink the Lord as never before.
So when you go to a church service, you begin drinking of the Lord. You start drinking the latter rain, or the new wine, or the new rain. So go ahead.
The church life is not just a container or the wineskin.
The church life. See, when we're in the body of Christ, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, called that the new wineskin. So, go ahead and repeat that again, that part.
The church life is not just a container.
Okay. It's not just something for you to live in the body of Christ, just to be sitting there, dormant, idle, because the Lord is alive, and He is... vibrant, is busy working all the time. And if you're in his body, you're busy working all the time. Then what?
Or the wineskin.
Read that line again.
The church life is not just a container or the wineskin.
See, in other words, the church life is the wineskin. It's the church life. It's where we drink the wine, the new wine. But then it's not just that, but...
But a vessel from which we may drink.
But it's also the body of Christ, and we drink from the body of Christ. We receive. There's all sorts of Christians in the body of Christ, and we get something from each one of them if they're in the bottle, the wineskin. We have to be in a container. We cannot operate a Christian or be in a Christian life or have a Christian life outside of the wineskin, the bottle, the body, the spirit, the church life. And then what?
We need to praise and thank the Lord that we have the church life.
Right, that's the most important thing. That's where you drink. That's where you drink of the Lord, and you are in communion with the Lord in the church life, because you're following the formula that God has set forth for us to continue in the Lord till the end. If you take even one drop of water out of a glass and take it out of the container and drop it on the ground, it perishes. You must remain in the glass or in the wineskin or the bottle, the body of Christ, the church, the New Jerusalem, the bride. Okay, then what?
The church life is not us. The church life is the corporate Christ.
Right. It's the... a corporation of all of us that are in Christ, in the wineskin, in the bottle, in the glass. Read that again.
The church life is not us. The church life is the corporate Christ.
Right. It's not us. It's where we remain strong. We remain in the bottle, in the spirit, in the life, in the way, in the truth, in the Lord. Right. Then what?
I cannot come here and leave the Lord at home. And you cannot come here just by yourself.
No, that's why before you come to the service at the church, you must be approaching the throne of the Lord. You must be going into the church service in prayer and to have a good time drinking of the Lord. You're not going to a graveyard. You're not going to a funeral parlor. But you're going into a service where the bridegroom's going to be, and you're going to have one wonderful time drinking and banqueting and feasting with the Lord and with the people of the Lord, feasting on Him. All right, then what?
You must bring Christ with you.
Right, he's got to be in you. Christ in you, as He said that to His disciples. I will be in you, I'm in the Father, and we're in you, and you're in us. It's a mutual situation. Okay, then what else?
You must bring Christ with you, because if you come by yourself and leave Christ at home, that would not be the church life. It becomes nothing more than a social club.
Right. If you go to church just to gab or to show off your clothing or the new car that you just drove on the lot, or to go there to flirt with somebody, or you're there looking for a husband or a wife, or if you're lusting after people in the church, you more than likely never had Christ, and you didn't bring Christ with you. You didn't desire to be a minister or allow the Lord to minister in and through you at the service. You've left Christ somewhere along the way, long ago. Then what else? You don't know Christ. Okay, then what?
So anything that has not got Christ in it is not the church. But if you come with Christ, if I come to the services with Christ, immediately the very Lord Jesus Christ that's in us is the corporate container to contain himself and dispense himself in us and through us, that we are able to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. So if I'm in the, when I'm in the pulpit, on the platform, and I'm enjoying Christ, I'm going to allow him to dispense himself into the rest of the people that are there. And I can see in some churches where they're gabbing and talking, and the women are all talking, and they didn't bring the Lord with them. But when I'm in the pulpit and I'm allowing the Lord to dispense himself through me, that's because I brought him to church with me. He's in me, and he can do some work. And I notice that the people are refreshed because they've, through me, the Lord has spoken and refreshed them with the new wine, the latter rain, something that uplifts them and causes them to rejoice because they feasted on the message or the words, the Spirit, which the Word is Spirit and life. And therefore, that's why I must come to church with the Lord. Otherwise, I'm there just to socialize with the people. And that's not going to happen. Okay, then what?
The church life is not a religion or a social club or a set of teachings, forms, formalities, and rituals, but the Lord Jesus Christ lives out his life out of you and out of me.
In the service. And this is how the people in the church life are edified, is by the people that bring Christ to the service with them. And that's why in my church I don't allow anyone to testify unless they are they're up on all these tapes, unless they've been reading the Bible, unless they're are having a prayer life, because what they're going to say over the pulpit will not be the Lord saying, it'll be them, and it will not edify the church. Okay, then what?
The body of the Lord Jesus Christ is a living body.
Yes, it's not dead. It's not a graveyard. It's not a morgue. He's alive. And he's exciting. He's beautiful, wonderful. He's very enjoyable to be with. He's not boring, but he's exciting. Then what?
He's alive. There are a lot of people in the world today that call themselves Christians. They've been in what they call Christian families, and everyone knows that Christians go to different churches, and they go there to meet.
Or pseudo-Christians, people that are not really, they don't have Christ in them, but they go there, they say they're Christians, but they're really not. And they go there to meet and to have social activities and business acquaintances and things like that, or to find a wife or a husband, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, just nonsense, things that have nothing to do with Christ. Not that it's not right to be married, but I don't see how a man could want to be married to anyone that is not totally focused on the Lord, because you know you don't have anything with a person like that. Or why a woman would want to be married to any man that isn't totally 100% focused on the Lord. Because how is he going to lead her into the kingdom of God? Then what?
So according to the way they do, everyone must enter the sanctuary. A lot of people in these big denominational churches, they go in quietly and reverently and they sit down.
They sit down very primly and proper, and they have nice clothes on, and they didn't get them from Texarkana. They went to New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, or someplace that has nice clothing, and they go there to sport themselves and to drive to the church in their nice new expensive automobiles. And then what?
They're prim and proper. They're well dressed. They're very orderly. Some of them don't like people that praise and thank the Lord.
This is kind of the way that they fix people for funerals, you know. I've never seen people's hair combed so well as I do when they're laying in a casket. They're laying there very dignified, very quiet, very dead. And the Lord is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Then what?
They shout and give up praises like the people of Israel when they said, Hosanna, praise the Lord, glory to God.
Yeah, these are the live people that have Christ in them. They're not prim and proper, you know, they go there to worship God and they don't care who knows it. They say, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, amen?
Amen.
And there's nothing sophisticated about people like, you read the Bible and you see some of the things that they go through, and it certainly has no a bit of sophistication to it whatsoever. Okay, then when they're praising the Lord and glory to God and weep before the Lord and praise Him and thank Him and laugh in the Lord. Okay, then what?
They say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless him that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. And the people that call themselves Christians that are in denominational churches or religion, I see them in television. They dress nicely and they behave very prim and proper. They're quiet. But does the Lord like this? People being so orderly?
So quiet. Then what?
I read in the Bible where the people shouted and gave praise and glory unto the Lord. If they really know the Lord, then that's what they do. So you can tell by the way the Bible is written in the Spirit, you may think that this is the way you've been influenced by religion and by a quiet type Christianity.
Yeah, I'm afraid that religion has influenced you too much if you go in and act like a mouse in church. I mean, if something hits you, then on the other hand, you can tell people that are faking it, you know, now that they hear a message like that, they're going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, when it's not really, you can tell it's not really the time to do that. But there are things, when the preaching is good, the teaching is from the Lord, there'll be times that they just get cold chills all over them and they just start weeping and crying and laughing in the Lord. Okay, then what?
But the Lord, I tell you, doesn't care for these prim and proper type of churches. The Lord loves those that praise and worship Him. So I'm not talking about whether the church is right or wrong, or good or bad, because I know that when I got saved, I praised and thanked the Lord, because the Lord is a matter of life, not death.
Right, I would be in the car and Susie would be driving, and I would just be slain under the Spirit, just praising and thanking the Lord, and I could hear her just laughing and praising the Lord herself, because the Lord was talking to me very strongly and abundantly, and I was like swimming in His Spirit. There wasn't anything I couldn't have sat and be prim and proper and be dead when something like that's happening to me. I'm like right there at the throne of the Lord, and I was rejoicing to know that God is loving me so much that He's pouring out Himself on me and in me, and I feel the whole Spirit. It's like a spiritual realm all around me. Then what?
Religion tells us that people that sit quietly and prim and proper and are dressed right and seat themselves in an orderly manner
and are quiet. Go ahead.
That's good. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that it is not good because of the fact that it doesn't have any life in it.
No, the Lord has to be in you and on you, upon you. Otherwise, you don't have anything. Then what?
Those that are of the religious bunch of people, they're an abomination to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like they insult Him because the Lord is life and Christ has conquered and subdued death.
Yeah, He's done away with death. That should be a joy to people. But some people that call themselves Christians aren't aware of what has happened to them. They become cold because they don't understand what it is that the Lord has done, that He's destroyed death for us, hell and the grave. He has destroyed prim and properness. He's destroyed coldness and deadness. And He's broken down the middle wall of partition and has allowed us to communicate with Him, and He pours out His Spirit upon us. And we drink of Him and feast with Him, and we have Him God living in us. This is how to have God living in you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You praise the Lord because He hears you. If you're sitting there praising and thanking the Lord, I go by our brother's dorm all the time, and I can hear them in the dorm saying, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I can hear them clear across the field praising and thanking the Lord. And I know those people have Christ living in them and through them, and that they're having a real good time in the Lord. Okay, then what?
The Lord Jesus Christ would tell the religious people, Why is death so appealing to you? How come you like death so much? You're not like my church, my body. The way you people gather together and are so quiet, you're like a cemetery, a funeral home. Funeral homes and cemeteries are orderly and quiet.
Oh, they're so beautiful, those beautiful graves. And there's nobody shouting there, amen?
Amen.
They're muffled by 6 feet of earth on top of them, or in some mausoleum. Then what?
The churches are like cemeteries. There's no confusion at all there. There's no devil there because everyone is dead. The devil doesn't want to be bothered with dead people. He wants to come after those that are alive. So there are a lot of different people that call themselves Christians today. They are exactly like cemeteries or funeral homes. You can open up the caskets or go to a pew, and you'll see everyone is nicely and properly and beautifully dressed, their hair combed, then they're buried. But this is not the new wineskin that the Bible is talking about. The Bible says that you can't put new wine into old wineskins, but you must put new wine into new wineskins. You must not be like the religious people that don't know the Lord.
Because they won't receive that. If you go into one of those denominational churches, like the Catholic or Lutherans or the Presbyterians on the whole, and you start, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh my Lord and my God, they're going to just escort you out very quick. Why? Because you're alive and they're dead. They will do this also to you in a Baptist church. The Bible says, I always joke with some of my Baptist friends. I said, you guys are going to raise up first from the dead, because the Bible says, first that the dead will rise first. And so that, I said, that you Baptists are going to rise first. You're dead. That is not, that's being facetious, really. If they remain dead, they're not going to rise at all. They're going to rise to everlasting destruction. I try to do it in a nice way. But there is really no nice way. I don't really like to joke about things like that. I stopped saying that to J.D. Sumner and people like that that I used to sing background for me. Okay, then what else?
You need to know the Lord. The Lord is a living church. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is.
Yeah, get into the water like Ezekiel, to where you have to swim in there and to swim in the Spirit. Okay, then what else?
The body of Christ is put together or composed of living members, and living people make noise. This, of course, is the new wineskin, the new church that contains Christ. And that's what everybody needs, is the new wineskin. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people in the United States of America and different countries come from a Christian background. They learn that Christians need to have certain kinds of Christian services. And according to this school of thought, everyone must enter the sanctuary quietly and reverently and seat themselves properly.
Now, you don't want to make waves inside the church. Just come in like you're going into a graveyard and sit yourself and be quiet. And if you have to say something, whisper. Okay, then what?
And they must act a certain particular way.
This is religion. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
These are like rules and regulations, and in some of the messages that are following, I'm going to tell about the Lord putting, so to speak, an end to a lot of different regulations.
Right. Now, you know when people must be dressed properly, you can't have women coming into the church with plunging necklines or mini skirts or anything like that. I mean, they should be dressed properly. properly, but I'm not talking about that. Cover yourself up, for God's sake. This is what the Lord wants. Amen?
Amen.
Dress appropriately, but you can praise and thank the Lord and have a good time in the Lord. The Lord is not the God of dressing and so on and so forth, but we have to dress appropriately, but that doesn't mean that we can't shout and praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
So a lot of people mock the way that we hold church because we're a noisy bunch of people. We shout and give praises unto the Lord. People that are just sitting prim and proper and so on are unconsciously influenced by their religious Christian background.
Yeah, they don't realize that they've been programmed into this dead way of life, which is no life at all. Then what?
But the Lord is not in these religious meetings where people come to sport their new clothes and sit in the pews. But Christ is a matter of life. The religious people say that being well-dressed and quiet is good, but the Lord Jesus Christ tells us it is not good because there is no life to that sort of service.
Yeah, you don't have to have expensive clothes. You just have to keep yourself covered. Amen?
Amen.
If people wanted to see skin, why go to church? You could go down to single bars or topless bars or someplace like that. But we're not a topless bar. We're not a skin flick. The Lord is not any of those things. Cover yourself up. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can wear a $2 or a $1 print dress that you buy down at the thrift store, and you'll be fine for services, all right? But what we're talking about is these $1,500 and $3,000 dresses that people wear that are ungodly. I mean, they're just not right, appropriate for services. Then what?
The religious people really are an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior is life, and Christ has conquered and subdued death. The Lord Jesus Christ would say to the religious people, "Why is death so prevailing among you? Why are you so concerned about death? Certainly this is not like my body, the church. This is like a cemetery. You're like whited graves, sepulchers. Every one of them is prim and proper and beautifully attired, just like dead people are. They put them in the casket and bury them, but this is not the new wineskin. The living Christ, or the living church, is where Christ is."
I'm reiterating here so that it's supposed to stick in your brain and in your spirit, okay? Then what?
It is the church composed of all living members making noise. This is the new wineskin. Everyone needs that sort of a wineskin, the new wineskin. The new wineskin is for new wine, newly converted people, people that have the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says that we can't put new wine into old bottles. If we do, it will break the old bottles. So we have to be in the New Testament now. Firstly, we have the old wineskin, and secondly, we have the new wineskin. Do not put the new wine into the old wineskin. Some of the people have for sure received the new wine, but they have attempted to bring the new wine back and pour it into the old wineskin.
Yeah, they'll come to a church service, an on-fire church service for the Lord is, and they say, "Oh, this is fantastic. I'm going to take it back to my dead church." So they go in there and start doing the things that we do in the lively churches, and they get kicked out. Because the old wineskins cannot contain life. Death will not contain life. Dead people that love death will not receive it. Okay, they'll pour you out on the floor. Go ahead.
It's like people getting saved and going back to the old church that they were in before. So when you come to the new church and drink the new wine, you're going to say that this is absolutely wonderful. This is just what their church lacks and what their new church needs. So what you may try to do is bring this new wine back to that old wineskin. If you do that, you're going to find out what happens. The old wineskin burst and the new wine was spilled. It's like it could break you and you would be like broken glass all over the floor, not able to keep the new wine in you.
Yeah, they'll go ballistic on you. I remember Sue was taking me from one church to the other to show me the different fallacies in them. And we went into this Baptist church in Los Angeles or Las Vegas someplace. And I'd never been in there before. And one of them said, and Susie said, whatever you do, if they ask you to give your testimony where the Lord spoke to you and in this office and all that, do not say that in there because they're not going to receive it. They're going to think you're a liar and they're going to think that you're a heretic. And but when the man asked me to give my testimony, I thought it was really of the Lord and I didn't listen to my wife. And I stood up and I started giving my testimony. And about halfway through it, everybody started looking at me and giving me dirty looks. I was sitting in the pews, and they looked back at me, and they were just really wrinkling their foreheads and everything. They don't believe in the power of God that exists today. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And when I looked down at Sue, she had her eyebrows raised, like with the look on her face, I told you so. You nutcase, now stop it. And so I just really tried to get out of it as best as I could. And the Lord told me to listen to my wife, and that's one time I didn't. And I was really sorry. They just shunned me as though I were the plague that had come into their church. And so I said, well, Sue, you know, they asked me to tell my testimony. She said, oh, shut up. Okay, then what?
But if you put new wine into the new wineskins, our Lord and Savior stated that both are preserved.
Yes, then you're going to praise the Lord. You're in your church. You're in the Lord. You're in the wineskin. You're with the wine. You're drinking the wine. You're banqueting. You're feasting with the Lord. And you have these old, dead folks are not there. They're not going to receive you. They just won't. And this is the Lord telling you that. Okay, then what else?
A lot of people try to bring the new way of life into the people that are not even saved. But what happens is you kill the meetings. The new wine does not fit into old wineskins.
Right, you'll kill their meeting and they're going to kill your spirit. It's just, you're going to be on the floor. The glass will break and you're going to be on the floor. And no one, you'll not be able to be contained any longer. Until you crawl out of that place or run out, one of the two. Then what?
The new wine requires the new wine skins. When you're born again of the Spirit, stay in the born again of the Spirit church in Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ as the new garment. We need to put him on.
Now, a lot of these churches have the cloth, but they don't have the garment. They've never been processed. They've never had the process one come upon them, and they've never had the process one that's gone through the fire in them. Keep going. Go ahead.
We need the Lord Jesus Christ as the new garment. We need to
need to have the Lord. Okay, not just the cloth, but we need the cloth that's been worked, the cloth that's been shrunk. The cloth that's been cut, that's been needled, that's been pierced, that's been fashioned into a garment suitable for anyone to wear. Okay, then what? And that was Christ, amen?
Amen.
That's Christ. Go ahead.
We need to put him on. We need Christ as the new wine. He has to be the one living in us. And we also need Christ in a corporate way, as the new wineskin, the church.
Yes, we need each other. Amen, those of us that are born again.
Amen.
If you were dead, you wouldn't like our church. And if you were dead, you would not like us, because we're alive. And if you're dead, you don't love Christ. You haven't found him yet. And you can find him at the end of this program. We'll always go through the sinner's prayer where you can accept the Lord in you and upon you. You can be clothed with him. And you can be drinking the new wine, the latter rain, the bread of life. Okay, then what?
We need the church life. The Lord has set us free. He said his burden is easy and light, and we don't care for any man-made doctrine or any man-made teaching or any man-made formalities, but all we need is Christ in us and Christ through us, the Lord Jesus Christ in you and the Lord Jesus Christ in me and in every member in the church.
Right, I'm going to be doing a service here on how the disciples went through the cornfield, and the Pharisees says, you can't do that. They went through the cornfield on the Sabbath. And then he healed a man on the Sabbath. And other things that he did on the Sabbath, many things which I'll bring out in the one of the next messages. And the Lord's just showing us that he did away with the Sabbath because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Now I have shoes and socks and clothing, and I can take my shoes off and my socks off because I'm the Lord of those shoes. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord, what the Lord wants us to do is be in the wineskin. Now, there's a lot of things that the Lord tells people to do that are in the wineskin that people would think you are an out-and-out heretic. The religious people would, just as the Pharisees thought that the Lord was not of God because he didn't fast, but he feasted. They thought that he was not of God because he didn't, that he would heal on the Sabbath, that he would let his disciples eat corn, and he himself would eat corn or eat on the Sabbath and pick corn, which was, and the many other things that the Lord let us know. See, so he said, look, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the boss of the Sabbath. And that's hard for religious people to receive. But if you're in the body of Christ and Christ is telling you to do something, it would seem totally off the wall to religious people. But when the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it, or else he will depart from you. Just as the Lord departed from Samson, and Samson didn't know it. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't know that he did. The Lord told him not to drink wine. Some people, now John the Baptist came not drinking wine or eating, and they condemned him. Then the Lord came, and he was eating and drinking. It just goes to show that the Lord does different things in different people. Amen?
Yeah.
And they called him a wine bibber, and he drank with publicans and sinners. So, you know, people just have to be in the Spirit so they know what to do. The Lord told Hosea to marry a couple of hookers. Now, you believe that? He didn't tell you to do that, and he sure didn't tell me to do that, but he did him. And if Hosea would not have done that, he'd have been in one miserable trouble with the Lord. The Lord told Jonah to go someplace, to Nineveh, and preach to them. And he didn't tell you to do that or me to do that, to go to that particular town. But Jonah didn't want to, and so he wound up in the belly of a whale for a while. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says that he was greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than anybody else on earth. And when he tells you to do something, that means to heck with rules and regulations. You just stay in the body, in that wineskin. And this is a message I'll be bringing you probably in the next day or two. All right? But I'm just giving you little highlights of it. Now, if I want to take my shoes off, I'm the Lord of my shoes, and I'll take them off. And if I can throw my socks off, too, if I won't. If I want to eat, and the Lord's telling me to eat, I'm going to eat whether everybody else is fasting or not. If I don't want to eat, you're not going to make me eat. I'm the Lord over my mouth. If the Lord tells me not to eat, which he did before, and I had to fast for days without food and water, and I thought I was going to die, but I knew I wouldn't because of the fact, bottom line, I knew I wasn't because he told me to do it. He wasn't going to have me starve myself to death. or dehydrate, I'm still alive. This happened many years ago when I first was saved. You can read about that in a piece of literature that I wrote called Biting the Bullet. Okay, well, let's keep going. But I'm just telling you, God is not like pounding people to do certain things. He wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be in Him. Amen?
Amen.
He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He says, come unto me. Not don't go to the Sabbath. He says, come unto me and I'll give you Sabbath. I'm the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
You come unto me and I'll give you rest. Amen? I'll give you Sabbath. Because I'm the Sabbath. I never made the Sabbath. I didn't make man for the Sabbath, but I made the Sabbath for man. If I tell you when to Sabbath, then that's the Sabbath. If you want a Sabbath, then you come to me. Don't, because some religious yokel tells you that this is the Sabbath, or that's the Sabbath, or like the dead Jews now, they say that Sabbath is still, as it was in the Old Testament, before Jesus came to earth and became the Sabbath. It was Friday when the sun goes down and Saturday when the sun goes down. That's the end of it, right?
Right.
Not anymore. The sun's gone down already. Amen?
Amen.
And the Son of God has risen. Amen?
Amen.
And He's the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And you have to be in the Son. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be in God Almighty. If He tells you to do something, the Lord has told me to do things that I never believed were possible. I searched the Scriptures for 3 years to find out if that's what I was supposed to do because I was so afraid. And He said, either do it or I'll take you out. And so I did it. And doesn't He says, don't be concerned in this wicked and generation of what, you know, of by doing something that I want to do. I mean, if I tell you to do something, I'm God. Amen?
Amen.
And forget about all these other people. Okay? Because they don't matter. If you want to be my son of God, you do what I say. Move in the Spirit. When the Spirit tells you to move, move. Okay, then what?
This is the new wineskin, the church life. So there are four new things, and there are also four kinds of pseudo-Christians that have come into existence because they never matured in the Lord. The first so-called Christians, they call themselves Christians, but they really are not Christians at all. They only take Christ as the new cloth. They don't believe in the Lord's crucifixion or the Lord's redemption, but only appreciate the Lord while He was on this earth. They say, praise the Lord. Look how Jesus lived. He was so full of love and self-sacrifice. We must imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord doesn't want us to imitate Him. He wants us to live in Him, and He wants to live in us. They say, oh, we must follow Him in an imitation type way. But for us to do something like that is just to cut out a piece of new cloth with which to patch an old garment, and that new cloth has not been worked into the new garment.
Yeah, you're still like, you're not born again. You haven't been shrunken, you haven't gone through the fire, you haven't been cut and sewn and pierced and gone through or drank the cup that the Lord has. You're nothing. Then what?
So those kind of Christians are what they call the modern type Christians, the modernists. They don't believe that Christ is God. They don't believe that Christ died for our sins on the cross at Calvary. They'll tell you that Christ died as a kind of martyr, not in any way for our salvation, but He died to give us an example that we must be martyred to.
Well, I see, this is martyring me, that I have to stop right now because there's so many good things to tell you. But my time is up, and so let's stop being pseudo-Christians or denominational people, but let's get into the wineskin so that you can hear what the Lord wants you to do. And so that you are not living under such strict rules and regulations as the religious people in the world do. If you, the Lord's burden is light, it's easy, and, you know, on the Sabbath day, when everybody is, like the Catholics are eating fish on Friday, you may hate fish, and the Lord doesn't command that you eat fish, okay? So you eat what you want to, because you're in the Lord, and if He lets you do something, then don't listen to religionists. You do it. Of course, we have to keep the law. We have to obey all the law, and to walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're not going to sin, and it's not sin doing what the Lord says. So we're going to hear more about that, and it'll be sure that you'll understand it before we get finished with this talk. But right now, let's get the Lord in us. Amen?
Amen.
And you do that now by, let's see, you can start by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved." Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Say, "Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord." Now, if you want a copy of this tape, just ask for program number 115, and you can email us at
alamoministries.com,
or you can call us at
area code 479-782-7370,
or you can fax us at
area code 479-782-7406,
or you can write us at
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
So to make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 15 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. You will not want to miss that. All right? Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and drink the Lord now. Read the Word and drink it all in, and have God's life living in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.